At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Egypt File podcast. I'm Eris Halimi, lover of all things Egypt since 1999, self-taught Egyptologist, and all-around Egyptophile. This love of Egypt started due to the 1999 film The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. Since then, I have been enamored and spent my time researching and staring in awe at the wonders that are ancient Egypt. And if it were not for the spin-off of The Mummy Returns, The Scorpion King starring Dwayne Johnson, I would have not been exposed to rock and metal music. Who was the Scorpion King? Why was his existence so important to Egypt as we know it today? And how did he end up being surrounded by myth? Well, to answer that, we must first realize that the Scorpion King himself is surrounded by mystery. We aren't fully sure who he really was. Egyptologists and scholars believe he may have been King Narmer. The pharaoh often contributed to uniting Egypt by conquering Lower Egypt. However, some scholars believe that Narmer was the pharaoh Menes. Menes himself, however, is almost completely absent from archaeological record, and we only know of his existence because of a tablet found around the 19th or early 20th century. His absence, as well as the wealth that Narmer had, has only raised more theories that Menes is Narmer. Theories like this have allowed the media to have a lot of leeway when it comes to the Scorpion King. Movies like the Scorpion King franchise have given rise to the overall portrayal of the Scorpion King and his mysteriousness. The initial portrayal by Dwayne Johnson shows him as an Akkadian assassin who seeks revenge for his brother's murder. He finds allies in former enemy clans, gets justice for his brother, and unifies a kingdom. I haven't seen the rest of the franchise, though, so I can only assume that they piggyback off of the initial movie. Plus, in The Mummy Returns, he is portrayed as this warrior king who is trying to take over a country and is struggling, so he needs to pray to the god Anubis to help him in battle. And in doing so, he sells his soul to Anubis and has to bite off the head of a scorpion to gain the powers of a scorpion, which is then played into the movie starring Dwayne Johnson. I found this interesting in my research when it came to Scorpion King at a young age, because they go through and put it kind of as a mysterious nod to the signals and signs that are often contributed to the Scorpion King in Egypt. Some say that he had the shield, or a shield that had a scorpion on it. Some say his name was Scorpion. There are two Egyptian pharaohs in record that are King Scorpion. And others believe that his name just meant scorpion. He's really just a mysterious figure that media is able to go through and play off of. We can't really tell if his life meant what we think it did. Regardless of the various portrayals of the Scorpion King, his history is one of intrigue. Whether he was King Narmer, King Menes, or even King Scorpion II, the Scorpion King reigned during the First Dynasty in 32nd century BCE. Initially, the ruler of Upper Egypt, which laid between Cairo and Aswan, the Scorpion King united the two lands around 3100 BCE, making the capital the city of Memphis. He increased the presence of Egyptians in Canaan, which declined after his reign ended, and overall brought peace and prosperity into an empire that was constantly at war within itself. Excuse me. The Scorpion King's unification of Egypt during a tumultuous time speaks about his overall importance. Without him, I truly believe that Egypt may have spent another century fighting amongst themselves, as well as fighting surrounding countries. Which does happen quite often. You see in the Egypt period where or in various parts of the Egypt period, where you see kind of a civil war amongst the various Egyptian hierarchy. So, whether that be a civil war amongst the peasants fighting the monarchy, or the monarchy fighting within itself, it happened so often in the early days of what we would know as early Egypt. And then you fast forward to around the time of the Scorpion King, and that slowly dives in within itself. And it slowly gets united within one another. And you see that unification happen, which in that time was incredibly complicated because there was such a need for control. While we don't know much about the early days of ancient Egypt, there's a lot of separation. So you can tell that either there's fighting going on within whichever clan, because there was mostly clans within Egypt. So you had, of course, whoever ruled Upper Egypt, and you had whoever ruled Lower Egypt. And then there was also Middle Egypt, which was a short reign or a short time period of Middle Egypt being separated from Upper or Lower, which was interesting that it was so short that it's not even mentioned, really, because people usually just tie it in with Lower Egypt. Which adds more into who the Scorpion King was when it came to controlling everything. He truly brought such unification in that after his reign, you see a lot of fluctuation, and a lot of turmoil again. It wouldn't be until technically the reign of Djoser that you kind of see Egypt become this vast empire that we slowly would know today. He went through, and the Scorpion King, with his, increasing the presence of Canaan, would also bring in a lot of import as well as export, which would raise the treasury. And that in and of itself is incredibly intriguing, because that didn't happen all that often within that time frame. His impact or his reign also influenced the future dynasties of how Egypt would function. In times of male heirs, Egypt would base, or in times of no male heirs, Egypt would basically implode, because they believed that the pharaoh, it had to be a male. The pharaoh spoke for the gods. The pharaoh was god on earth for the most part. They have a bunch of different, you know, ceremonies that amplify him as the god, while the priests, of course, were the voice of God. So the voices of the gods. The pharaoh was the head. He was the person. He was God, their god. And it didn't really extend to the females. So if there were daughters that the pharaoh had that could technically have reigned, that wasn't allowed. It was frowned upon. While females did technically have equality when it came to the lower classes, so in ancient Egypt, women were able to go through and get divorces. They were able to go through and run the head of their own households. They were able to kind of decide whether they wanted to marry a certain person or not. It came down to, when it came to the monarchy, you know, a woman was there to provide heirs. Which is interesting, because in, you know, the earlier time frames within the Scorpion King's era, you see a lot of females kind of taking over as regent and ruling kind of in their own right. But as soon as it gets into like the Dozier era of Egypt and onwards, it's solely a male has to be there. There are some cases where it is a female. There we do see a plethora of different females coming in and reigning during the time period of like Dozier or Khufu, Khafre, all those people, but it isn't as fluent as it is in the first dynasty of Egypt. And the main example of a country imploding if there wasn't a male heir is the last pharaoh of the 18th dynasty, Horemheb. He became pharaoh because he was the strongest military leader and was able to not only lead his people in battle, but was able to unify them as well. And he became king because, of course, I, who was the successor after King Tut, had no male heirs. And then Tut had no male heirs because he died at such a young age, at 19. So without Horemheb's leadership, it really would have become a more tumultuous time frame, which again speaks into the influence that the Scorpion King had over how future dynasties would function. Because he went through, and his unification of Upper and Lower Egypt lasted since that. There was a small instance where they would where Upper and Lower Egypt separated, but they reunified within, I want to say, a century. Overall, it was just incredibly important to have someone like the Scorpion King come in and kind of show Egypt how to grow to become prosperous. Without the Scorpion King, we would not have had, probably would not have had, Egypt grow into the prosperous empire we know it today. And it's one of those things to where we do know so little about him, but yet we know so much. Which is says a lot about the archaeology or the archaeological standpoint of Egypt. Because here we are, 2 centuries after the initial Egypt. Like, Egypt is the place to go for archaeology to discover, to, you know, be inspired by this great civilization. And we still know so little about the various different aspects of not only early Egypt, but the Egyptian periods after the Scorpion King. He is so surrounded by this mystery, mysterious aspect, because again, we don't know who he truly was, aside from a great warrior who unified his country. It makes it incredibly difficult to really form opinion, or form an opinion, in my honest opinion, about whether he was, you know, just a myth, or if he is this warrior pharaoh that unified his country. With the amount of time that I've spent researching ancient Egypt, I always go back to the Scorpion King to try to figure out who he truly was. And every year when I go through and go and research him, it's the same information. He's so clouded with mystery. He's so clouded by whichever facts you can go through and spew into the world, that at the end of the day, he is a myth. He existed, yes, but his existence is mysterious. Because again, he could be Menes, he could be Narmer, he could be King Scorpion the First or King Scorpion the Second. He could be anybody within the dynasty that he reigned in. There's a certainty that he was Narmer. We theorize that that's more than likely correct. But Narmer's name means catfish, or something to do with fish. His name doesn't say Scorpion King. His shield that he apparently used in battle had no scorpion on it. The vases and the pottery that we have found in Egypt that are attributed to Narmer have absolutely nothing scorpion related. So he's truly, truly just surrounded with a mystery in and of itself that we may not ever get an answer to. We truly, as a society, you know, when it comes to the Egyptophiles and the Egyptologists, may have this big theory that, yes, it's Narmer, but everything archaeological wise says, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was these other people. And so he truly is just surrounded with a mysterious cloud. And that's what I love about the first pharaoh of a unified Egypt. was that we can form our own opinions on him. And yet he can still be this great, amazing pharaoh. And there is no doubt in my mind that he was a great and amazing pharaoh who unified his people and led his people in battle. And they were singing his praises in the streets every time that he won a battle. And he would come back with the spoils of war and spread those spoils throughout his kingdom and went through and bore or helped bear countless children as one pharaoh would. He is such an idea that many, I really believe that many pharaohs who remembered his existence looked back on and be like, I want to be the scorpion. I aspire to live like the scorpion being dead. However, again, he's so clouded with mystery that we don't know. And I like not knowing. I like not knowing who he truly is. It adds to the excitement. And it adds to the leeway that media gets. Because whether you think so or not, I personally think that the first Scorpion King movie, as cheesy as it was a really good movie. But as many people in my life go through and say, I'm biased. I'm biased when it comes to Egypt. I'm biased when it comes to the Scorpion King. Both the person and the movie. What does everybody else think about the Scorpion King? Is his story so surrounded by mystery that it's hard to form an opinion? Do you think he truly did unify the people of Egypt? You can go through and ask me questions via the podcast's Blue Sky or Facebook page. All questions and comments, of course, will be read before the start of next week's episode. And, of course, don't forget to follow those pages, too. It does help. And also make sure to follow the Twitch channel where I will go live with the podcast every Monday around 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Or go subscribe to the YouTube channel where I will put the podcast VOD. Join me next week as I will be delving more into the Mummy franchise's characters by discussing the one and only Imhotep. Where we find out how he went from scholar to God. Until next time, remember, you are loved, and may the goddess Isis protect you.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.